Yeah, boy, it's your boy Blunt Steven, and welcome to the Unsilent Majority, where we keep it 100 and we always stay blunt. Welcome. Let's get it. Yeah, boy.
All right, this is me, Blunt Steven. Backing out of work, so give me a second. Something I want to talk about is kind of funny, and maybe not funny, but so you know, my girl's been going out a little bit lately, Bitchy Bay. Been going out, just, you know, kicking it with her friends at this bar she regulars at. She's a mainstay. Sorry, I'm telling my car. And that's all cool, but I let some of my little insecurities show. I guess, you know, I love my girl so much that I don't want guys that, you know, might be in the field, like, trying to fuck with her, even though she's as loyal as can be. And, you know, always been a fat guy, insecure and all that crap, and kind of let it show. And, you know, we got into a couple, you know, little spats, nothing serious. And then a couple nights I went with her, because, you know, us as parents, man, we got fucking we got four kids, like, just like, shit, man, we need a fucking break. And it's 6 years, like almost fucking 7 years, we never really get to go out. So we really haven't taken a vacation. I mean, the only thing I can think of as a vacation is we went to, like, the first year we were going out, we went to Santa Cruz for a trip. But that was at the beginning, man. We've been through so much since then. But whatever, I go out, and then apparently, like, two of her homegirls that regular that bar with her are, like, into me. I'm like, I don't entertain any of that shit. I'm a loyal boyfriend, because, I mean, shit, man. Like, we've been talking about marriage and all that, and I've always had it in me. And my girl knows, because this is the spiel I told her when we were first going out, is, you know, my dad cheated on my mom, and that hit me fucking hard. And yeah, so, you know, I would never do that. I always told her and anybody that I was dealing with, if I wanted to cheat on you, then I'm going to tell you that we need to break up. Because obviously, if I want to cheat, I don't really want to be in a relationship that much, right? So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny. Like, the shoe was on the other foot. It's almost like my insecurity is what I'm throwing at her, but then it's like the thing I didn't think was happening, but was scared of happened in the opposite direction toward me. And I thought it was kind of funny. And my girl was kind of getting upset, like, see, you say all that shit to me and look what happened. It's fucking, they're trying to get at you and shit. But I thought that was funny. You gotta find humor in everything, and yeah, that shit to me is pretty funny. But
what we do here on the Unsilent Majority is we keep it real, we keep it 100. I'm going through a tough time, and I feel like I have to display it, you know. I don't even know where to start. it's been a rough week, you know. My stepson did some messed up thing to me, and it's just caused all types of friction. And he might be going to live somewhere else, and as much as that's probably the good thing, it's fucking me up inside. And me and my girl, me and Bitchy Bae, we're arguing like we just never have before. I know it ain't us. I know it's the stress we're going through. I guess, you know, I don't handle it very well. And she certainly doesn't take no shit. So, you know, the combination is just, you know, explosive right now. And it's just been hard. Like, to be honest, I'm probably going to end up... I don't even have medical at my job right now. It's just been so hectic. You know, it's just been hard that I just haven't gotten around to getting it. But I'm going to get it. And I need to have a therapist or something, or an evaluation, because I think I'm starting or inheriting being bipolar. My mother's bipolar. I mean, my girlfriend, I don't know if she was diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure she's right on the edge of being bipolar. Her mother was manic. And she's, you know, and I read some symptoms, and I'm just like, I definitely got them. I just seen a few things that, you know, I eat. It says you either eat too little or you eat too much. And I swear sometimes I would, like, maybe not recently, but... Sorry, that last part cut off. But as I was saying about the symptoms, like, for bipolarism, you know, you fucking either eat too little or you eat too much. And sometimes, granted, you know, I had a fucking joint before I do this. Usually, like, I'll eat so much to where I'm just fucking uncomfortable. And I don't think I don't think anybody's ever that hungry, you know. So that's the symptom that popped out to me. There's a few other ones, you know. You know, just being jumpy and then just dropping. I kind of feel like that. You know, it's just, there's so much shit going on. Like, it's just, I understand why people just get fed the fuck up and just do those hard drugs. I won't do that shit. It's just not in my blood. We just don't have an addictive nature. I mean, I fucking smoked cigarettes for about 3 months, and then I said I didn't want to do that anymore. Quit. 2 seconds. Like, no urge or anything. But yeah, shit has just been so hard. And the last episode, you know, I said, you know, you gotta stay strong and everything, but it's harder than a motherfucker, man. It's like, to explain my situation, it's like I walk in the door, I have two autistic toddlers that I just want to have a conversation with so bad, or a conversation up to their level, like, as far as their age, 4 years old and 3 years old. And then I have a little baby that, you know, me and my girlfriend tend to, 7-month-year-old Santana. And then I have a 13-year-old stepson that just looks at me like he just wishes I wasn't there. And everything out of his mouth, big or little, is just a lie. And maybe people, after listening to this, will be like, hey, that's just normal parenting. But shit's fucking hard. And I'm just, my brain is just, usually I never get, like, I always got my shit together. Like, I never, like, fold or it never seems like I'm gonna, like, you know, just break or whatever, but this week at, what am I, I'm 35 years old, is just breaking me. And yeah, I just, and I feel like I can't vent to anybody, because my close friends, I know they care about me so much, but I just don't want them to know, like, my failures and stuff. And I'm sure everybody can relate to that. And my mom, like, I love her to death, but she's just been going through it. And sometimes I tell her to keep stuff secret, and then she blurts it out to people, and it's been more than once. And it's just, you know, she's hopped up in her own depression and for certain things that are going on right now, and I can't depend on her for that. And I've always been able to depend on her, so it's not her fault, but I'm just explaining. And just, she's fucking hard, and I just want to vent to the world. And, you know, if someone can relate to this, even a piece of it, I've done my part. And yeah, thanks for listening to this piece. And yeah, didn't mean to make this a whole emo episode, but yeah, it's definitely crazy. Had to keep it 100. This is life. It goes from something crazy and funny to just some emo shit, and you know, that's life. So yeah. I just want to do a quick thing. I don't often say all my my promotion stuffs, like for my handles and stuff. And I just want to say that real quick. I'll probably end up recording a, you know, actual promo one that I could put in every episode, in case you guys want to contact me, tell me I suck, tell me you relate to what I'm saying, blah, 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 whatever, because I look forward to that stuff. Look forward to an argument. Look forward to praise. Look forward to all that shit. But right now, I'm on Facebook. Just look up Steven Martin. And then I'm on Instagram. Under my handle name is Blunt Steven with two N's. And I'm on Snapchat that I might end up deleting, but for now I have it. My handle name is Blunt Steven. Just spell it just straight, Blunt Steven. Do I got anything else? No, I don't think so. But yeah, you got any feedback? You got things you want to say, things I should address, or things I should talk about? Just feel free and shoot me a line. All right.
We are back. To kind of switch it up from the emo stuff that's been going on this podcast, to talk about some basketball stuff, some sports stuff. KD played in game 5 and fucked up his Achilles, ruptured it. I honestly think that this was the injury the whole time. Like, he didn't even want to come out to the fucking the bench and support his team. Growing up, that's all I ever seen with injured players in their spiffy, nice suits. Even this year, LeBron came out and he even had a glass of wine on the fucking sideline. So therefore I think KD didn't even want to take the risk, of maybe a player like, diving for a ball out of bounds and, you know, landing on him. But yeah, it's suspicious. But I don't know. I don't know what this means for free agency. I really don't know. And Yeah, they say he's gonna go to the Knicks, team up with Kyrie. I really 90% doubt he's coming back to the Warriors, but the Knicks kind of look like a good fit for him, especially if he has Kyrie with him. And on that note, Kyrie just signed to Roc Nation after he dropped his current agent, and they're saying that he's gonna go to the Brooklyn Nets. And I think that's a stupid fucking move. I mean, you got some players, but now that's gonna put another shadow on D'Angelo Russell, who he's starting to peak and shit. He reminds me of he's the Alex Smith of basketball, you know? Alex Smith took 7 years to be good with the 40-pounders and stuff. So yeah, Kyrie's kind of looking like he's going to the Nets. Yeah, shit. I personally really hope he goes to the Knicks. It's just the Knicks have to be good again. Like I used to love the Knicks growing up. Besides the Warriors, I always loved seeing them in the playoffs and stuff. Who else is there? Is that it anymore? Well, the Warriors last night lost to the Raptors in Game 6, and the Raptors are world champs. Kawhi is the Finals MVP, and hats off to them because I thought we were gonna pull it out. And Klay in Game 6, he ruptured or tore his ACL also. So free agency for the Warriors ain't looking that good. My honest thing is, it's gonna take a while for Klay to get back. Hopefully before the Christmas games and stuff. But as a Warriors fan, the Warriors need Klay. We could do without KD. I just think that should be our approach. And we need Klay. I always underrated him, but you just see like we need him. Curry definitely needs his sidekick. It just works. But yeah, anything else as far as the sports tip? Oh, the Oakland Raiders got picked for HBO's Hard Knocks. I think that's fucking stupid. Why are you gonna put the Bad Boys with all these snotty ass players fucking on their own special? They're all gonna be acting like they're in fucking Hollywood on camera, looking for the cameras and playing with their nips, playing with their dicks, doing anything else but playing football. But
man, I don't know if any other fathers have this problem or revelation, but I don't know if it goes from a kid to kid basis, but I'm a strict father. And I think strict goes with stubborn and everything, and I cannot like even budge or rescind on the laws that I put down as being a father. I mean, right now, my stepson is kind of just going on a lie streak, and I'm super fucking detective. Like you gotta be, I guess, in general as a father, but fuck, dude. Sometimes you want to just lounge and be dad and not always be on your P's and Q's for maybe one day out of the year. But damn, but this whole basis of what I'm saying is sometimes us men have a revelation that, damn, I'm a strict father. And that's what this piece is about. Because I remember growing up saying, I'll be the best dad. Like, my kids could do whatever the fuck they want. Blah, blah, blah. Now when some young ass motherfucker says that to me, I'm just going to laugh in their face. Just like my mom probably laughed in my face. Like my uncle was probably laughed in my face. And yeah, fucking shit's crazy. But yeah, I'm a strict father. And I think it works out in the end because all the resistance and stuff that I'm getting now is just, you know, the BS floating out of, you know, the child's body. But yeah, it's just crazy. I'm a strict father, and that's just my revelation. Like, I don't know if it's good or bad, because, you know, this is fatherism, but I wasn't shown how to be a father. Not that many of us are, but you kind of always take things from your parents, and, you know, I was just raised by my mom, and she actually, I don't know if she meant to parent me this way, but the circumstances of how I grew up, where she was working all the time, I don't think she had the power to be strict. And she just kind of was loose with me, where I never had a curfew. I was never, like, told, oh, you got to be home at a certain time. Like, I was told just, you know, be home at an appropriate time. And I don't think I ever broke that rule. You know, of course, before I was 21. But, yeah, I didn't really have a lot of restrictions, because I think my mom knew that, like, I wouldn't, you know, go overboard, or I would really break the restrictions, because I wouldn't get shit. And yeah. But I also wanted to share my theory. This is kind of a sidebar. When your kid grows up, I feel like they're 50% reflected. Who they're going to be is 50% of your parenting and 50% of who they want to be. So you could be the best parent and they're going to get that 50%. Like, oh, you know, my mom or dad was the best parent, blah, 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 or raised me right, or was strict, and, you know, I had discipline. And the 50% is if they want to be like a hoodlum, a gangster, sell drugs, you know, be a thief, do all that shit, they're going to do that anyway. So if they want to be that, you know, you just got to, you know, hold your head up and just, you know, be that strong parent. But if they're going to do all that other stuff, you can't really, you know, blame yourself, because, you know, that's who they want to be. So that's just my little, you know, mind fuck of the day. But yeah, I'm a strict fucking father, and you know what? I'm proud of myself for being a strict father. So go to your room. First of all, I re-listened to my episode that I just released, my first Bathroom Chronicles, and that shit was staticky as fuck, so pardon me, but yeah, that shit was staticky as fuck. Yeah, I just kept hearing it crackle. I don't know. I'm an old audio like engineer. When I hear a little like fucking pisses me off. But yeah, so I just wanted to stop in, do another segment on I'm a hard-ass dude. You know, I got a hard shell. And I just want to tell other dudes out there like me, you know, you gotta really show your female how much you love them. 'Cause this week had me pretty much just, I've been talking about it on this podcast already, but kind of breaking down a little bit and just kind of, it's been like a self-reflection to, you know, that I don't know why. Maybe it's just so much stress going on and just so much on the table that I just, you know, forgot to, you know, show appreciation to my lady, you know, the mother of my children, just to show her the love that she deserves. You know, all the stuff when you're in the honeymoon period that kind of fades away. You gotta, if you can't do it every second, if I guess you get used to not doing that, you gotta recharge that button and show your lady how much you love her. And bitchy bae, I love you so much, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate you blessing me with our children, crazy ass little kitties. And I'm gonna try my best to, on my part, you know, keep the love alive and not get stagnant on my end, which maybe I've been doing. But yeah, and fellas, man, just break that hard shell and just, you know, show your lady that you love her. You love her like as much as the, you know, the first time that you laid eyes on her, and that first moment that you knew you were in love with that girl and you didn't want anybody else and you wanted it to be lifelong. So fellas, don't be shy. Let her know. Man, breaking news. The Lakers complete the trade for Anthony Unibrow Davis, man. He's now linking up with LeBron. The Lakers traded away Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart, and also three first-round picks to complete the trade. And my opinion on the trade is, yeah, it's good for the Lakers because now they got they're going to have, you know, they're going to have LeBron, AD. I heard they're going after Kemba Walker, which would just, oh man, if they could land him, that would be perfect. But the other role players that they still have, they got Kuzma. I would have traded Kuzma because, you know, if they traded Kuzma and, like, maybe took Lonzo out, I think they could have got Drew Holiday too, like, packaged in there. But that's just my opinion. But they still got Kuzma. They got, who else they got? They got Lance Stephenson, who I think he was probably the best player on the Lakers last year. They got Rondo. He might ship out, but they're saying that, you know, might be a good chance that he stays. Who else they got? They got that Zubac. I think he's an up-and-comer. I think he's an up-and-comer journeyman for the Lakers. But on the other side, Pelicans might be good as fuck next year. Because a lot of people are going to be putting their money on the Lakers to, you know, take it next year, since the Warriors, you know, are their key players. Or even if we re-sign them, you know, they're fucking out pretty much until the playoffs, I guess, at least. So, but the Pelicans, they're going to have Zion, Drew Holiday, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. Who else they got? They got Julius Randle that they picked up from the Lakers last year. That's a fucking squad already right there. I don't know. I could see in the Western Conference Finals, I could see the Lakers playing the Pelicans. You know, because I think Zion is just going to be a fucking beast. And if he didn't have as many players, I'd be like, okay, maybe they'd be like first round exit, if even making the playoffs. But, you know, with this trade, they got a fucking squad. And just another, since we're on the sports tip for, you know, the NBA, the Warriors are favored to win it next year again. And that's fucking crazy, because it's going to be like, a lot of people think we're going to re-sign Boogie Cousins, and I think that's great. Like, that's just fucking perfect. But we're going to have Steph, Boogie, and Draymond. Dude, we're not going to make it like that. I could see us like maybe get knocked out in like the semifinals and shit, but yeah. Warriors are kind of just, it's not looking good for us. I don't know. Maybe we have something up our sleeve and we'll make a key acquisition, because I think we should just let KD go. We had our runs, you know, two championships with him here. Like, it's fucking great. If we could have got just one, that's great. But we need Clay, and we need to pick someone else up. But yeah, so bottom line, Lakers make that move. That's the first key move of the offseason. Let's see if Kyrie stops being a pussy and just I want him to link up with KD in New York, but I don't think that's going to happen. He'll probably go to the Nets. Let's see where everybody else is going. All right. I was at work doing my thing, and I was thinking about a topic to bring up. As far as wrestling, I'm a big, you know, pro wrestling fan. WWE, now AEW. I don't watch TNA that much, but I like when they had, you know, some of the veterans over there. But this AEW wrestling promotion that's coming out now, I think is really good, and I might just go over there. Like, I'm gonna watch all of it. It's like, as a fan, you don't gotta pick what you wanna see, but shit, man, WWE for the past, like, shit, I gotta say, it was 2019, probably for the last like 4 years, has been so boring. Like, the only thing I really liked on WWE was The Shield. And now that's broken up because, you know, Dean Ambrose let his contract expire, and he's a different character, now known as Jon Moxley, which he came in the main, he interrupted the main event at Double or Nothing, the first pay-per-view event for AEW, and he ran down and fucked up Chris Jericho, and then fucked up Kenny Omega. But yeah, that was like the only thing I liked in WWE, and otherwise they're bland. They have like stupid fucking characters, like Tyler Breeze, who walks out with a fucking selfie stick. Who else is fucking stupid? Who else? I mean, they got a whole bunch of females that, you know, are really skilled. Like, but it just always ends up, Charlotte wins the title or whatever. Because, you know, I don't know. She's incredible, but it's just, you know, you got to throw a different thing in there. You know, throw a wrench in the mix. I like what they're doing with Becky Lynch right now, though. For a spin on that, I think they should have involved a real life relationship, like, cause Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are now an item, so I think they should throw that in there. But anyway, who else do I think is just stupid on there? I don't know, I'm sure it'll pop up, but oh, like that whole Jason Jordan thing where he was Kurt Angle's kitty out of wedlock. That was so stupid because, hey, Kurt Angle's not black. And it was a fucking stretch. And that Jason Jordan is, you can see he's an incredible athlete, and they should have just, you know, kind of found some other angle. And then his former tag team partner, Chad Gable, that is just horrible. They just recently put him on 205 Live, and the cruiserweight division for wrestling is just trash, you know? It's just that I think they should have just had that tournament, and then that would have been cool. Like, have, like, a belt that someone could just keep and, you know, put in their fucking glass case or whatever. But, yeah, it's stupid because the old cruiserweights were the best. Like, Juventud Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio. Who else? Chris Jericho at the time was a cruiserweight. Eddie Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero. Like, it was pretty dope back then. But yeah, just right now, it's just fucking bland. And just, you know, WWE in general is just fucking bland. Like, you know, they've been pushing Roman Reigns. Like, I like Roman Reigns, obviously. I like Seth Rollins. I think he's this generation Shawn Michaels, honestly. They always have to have the legends. Like, Undertaker should have, like, he's my favorite, my top two wrestlers, like, ever. Like, a top three. Because I go with, you know, Undertaker, Stone Cold, and The Rock. But they should, like, Roman Reigns should have just, the original plans, they should have retired Undertaker at WrestleMania a couple years ago. And then they got to get him out of there. Goldberg with that big fuck up at, that Super Showdown, they got to get him out of there. Every time he, like, starts a match, the fucking front of his bald head fucking starts bleeding. Like, so, he's always having complications. And people even said, like, when he had his first match, I remember this, he had his first match on WCW Nitro against Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris is, like, a real technical guy that, you know, they kind of have him train, like, the people, you know, training and stuff, like, at the old school power plant. He even said this guy, he's not technical, or he doesn't have any, like, inch of skill. He was a former football player that just fucking was in incredible shape, and they could just go off that. So obviously he can't fall back on that now that he's in different shape, because he is way more leaner than he was back in the WCW days. But yeah, they got to get the legends out of there. Triple H, too. Triple H is one that I still think could do it. But it's just like, you know, just don't do it until you can't do it anymore. Just, you're corporate now. I think you're a good guy to have, like, in the front office, in the direction of WWE. So just kind of focus on that. You basically birthed the NXT. So, you know, that's pretty dope. But yeah, it's just they need to let these young bucks, you know, just kind of take over. I think Daniel Bryan's cool. I think the best wrestler that they're underutilizing right now is The Miz. The Miz should be a main eventer right now. Like, he's just kind of toying around with Shane McMahon and shit. Like, he fucking resurrected that Intercontinental title. Like, I think that was dope. And he should be a main eventer, man. He's got the microphone talent, the promo talent to just be there all the time, just make shit up on the fly. And he looks like a pretty dope wrestler. But, all these things they're not doing. The writing, as, you know, Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Jon Moxley, said on Chris Jericho's podcast, the writers just don't give you freedom. And that's what made the Attitude Era, like, incredible. Just Stone Cold flipping off everybody, fucking Rock talking shit to everybody, talking about Poontang Pie and all that shit. The Generation X just talking about the cocks and all that shit. And it was a dope era, and they got to inject some of that. Like, but it's just kind of getting stagnant, and I can't even tell you the last... I work graveyard, but I can't tell you the last time I watched the WWE event live. But, yeah, they need to do some start-from-scratch shit to get the fans interested again, because this whole WWF, WWE thing, to me, was driven by all the kids in my era, how much they love this shit and drag their parents out to go see this, to buy a pay-per-view, everything. And now it's just kind of blah, blah, blah. It's more adultish, which is cool, but, you know, you got to have shit for the kids too. But that is my take on the WWE, pro wrestling, AEW, and all of that.
So this is probably going to be the last segment, the last segment of the episode that I just recently titled Shoe on the Other Foot. Before I get into the last segment, go and check out episode 3 of the Silent Majority podcast entitled Jumbled. A lot of good things in there. I just want to say, it's been a rough couple weeks, but as I've probably been saying this whole episode, but I want to end it off with a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are there. Keep doing your thing. Don't stop ingraining that discipline and self-worth and drive and respect and love into your kids because they need it. Even if, you know, they try to ignore you, they're smart mouth, it's still going to stick on them. No matter what, it's still going to stick on them. I think that's the reason in my fatherhood that I... No matter if anything's discouraging, I still keep ingraining. And as my girl says, I keep lecturing. I probably get that from my Uncle George, who was definitely a father figure to me when I needed that male vibe. 'Cause my dad wasn't there. He cheated on my mom and just was never there. He was in and out. Never consistent. To be honest, I'm 35 years old and I haven't seen him for the last maybe 8 or 9 years. And I'm actually looking for him because, he's never seen my kids. My mom was definitely, I don't want to say she was a father figure, but she was definitely in that parenting role, which helped me a lot, taught me, always work for everything you have, and just never to shut up, always voice your damn opinion. And that is something that I, it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I still ingrained that in my kids, because my mom always told me to raise my hand, and I never did. And I want to be the parent that could actually, get my kids to raise their hand in class and, always have something to say, not be a smart ass all the time. But when you have something to say, and there's something that needs to be said, that you need to feel strong about it and go ahead and say what you need to say. But yeah, once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, all the single fathers, all the fathers in general. Keep being fathers. Don't give up on your kids. And leave your mark on your kids.